When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome to Breakfast with Pat and Heels. It's brought to you by Burbank Homes, the builders you can trust. You can bank on Burbank and Hyundai, the all-new Hyundai Kona N-Line. It's an absolute beauty. We'd love you to join us. 13 1355 is the Suncorp Home Resilience Open Line, or you can text 0467 736 736. Opposite me is Nostradamus. Yes. Well, can we go straight to this, Heels? Oh. Your prediction from yesterday?
And he's keeping really, really well. And today I expect him to bat well. I reckon he's gonna recognise rock bottom and get into it.
Did he ever? Alex Carey, you were talking about, finished 98 not out, and Australia won the test. A few outlets describing it as a miracle. Not so sure if it was a miracle, but it was a bloody good win.
Great win to back up the first one. You know, as we talked to Pat Cummins last week, how good the first win was, and it was probably going to get overshadowed because they should have beaten New Zealand, that type of sentiment. And so that's a great series that they've had to pull everything out of the bag. And Alex Carey, to me, he was very upbeat, wasn't he? Did you see much of it, Paddy?
Yeah, I watched most of it, actually.
You know how he was very deliberate in his walking to his partner and he's walking back to the crease, mark centre bat, you know? Well, I've wanted him to do that even with the gloves, make it a little more obvious what you're trying to do. He's very good at hiding his body language and his feelings. Mm. But it was obvious yesterday. That's great. Geez, he played some good shots. And they didn't have any answers to him.
No, he just he kept going. I mean, obviously, they dropped that early catch on 28, Mitch Marsh, which will prove very, very costly.
Oh, what about when we left here yesterday? Yeah. We had our head in hands, didn't we? Travis, what have you done? The ball after Mitch Marsh gets dropped, he gets caught, same area.
Yep. Yeah, just carving one out, and he was gone virtually straight away. And then that set Marsh and Carey on the path of a 6-wicket, 140-run stand, which was just brilliant, and that turned the test. When they got Marsh, Stark went first ball. Suddenly it was 7 for 220, still 59 shy. Then Carey and the skipper got together to get Australia home. Although Carey got stranded on 98, there's been plenty on social media saying, come on, Paddy, couldn't you have just manipulated things for him to get his century? But he really didn't care. The wicketkeeper, he was just rapt that they won.
You need two to win. You're two away from 100 and you've got Pat trying to smash you through the covers.
I was happy with that.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, I didn't want to get on strike again.
I asked Alex about it. He said it was quite heavy for you to smash the winning ones through the cover. You know, you left them 98 not out, but I think you were pretty keen to get it over and done with, weren't you?
Yeah, any way possible. I had no idea he was on 98, so that would have been embarrassing if he was celebrating and I wasn't looking.
Did you see the shot before he hit the winning runs too? He was trying to smash one against the seam back into him. And I'm thinking, hey, don't do that. Just block out the over. Because if you get up the other end, you're going to have to block out a hole over if you want him to get 100. Mm. And if the scores are tied, he quite possibly would only get one. Mm. It's not going to work. So, not very romantic, is he, Paddy? But
no.
Apparently the scoreboard was no good. They didn't use the scoreboard much at all.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Kiwis remain winless at home against Australia in 31 years, so that's going to continue. It was Australia's highest successful run chase v New Zealand in tests. So they were a couple of the stats. And then one of the surprises was Darryl Mitchell's quotes after the test.
Look, for us, we've always said as Black Caps, we're not defined by the outcomes, we're defined by how we play cricket and hopefully how we inspire our country to play the game. And really proud of the efforts that we did throughout the test, although we didn't get the win that we wanted. I think if we keep turning up and keep playing cricket like this, with puffing our chests out and doing it with a smile on our face and hopefully inspiring many young kids here in New Zealand to play test cricket in the future, then we're doing the right thing.
Huh? You lost 2-0. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, if we just keep turning up and dropping catches, bowling the wrong lines and
catching
lengths,
was abysmal
we'll be right.
In both tests.
We'll inspire kids that want to be better than us.
So that's copped a little bit of flack, as you would understand. There's a bit of England to that, is it?
Yes, England. Oh, what a they had a good loss, didn't they? In commenting on their loss by an innings and 64 runs, Wide World of Sports posted a nail-biting innings loss for England. Sees them courageously lose the series to India 4-1.
Well, there was a bit of Darryl Mitchell about that.
Definitely.
Yeah, so look, we'll review and go through a little bit more of that later on. But yeah, it was a great win by the Australians, and it was inspired by Alex Carey with a not out 98. It was just sensational. Now,
and when we do talk a little more on it, you look at Marsh, the scoring rates yesterday: 80 off 102, Carey 98 off 123, and Pat Cummins 32 off 44. That tells me a story, which backs up what I saw yesterday. So we'll talk about that a little later on, mate. But before we go any further, mate, you were at a very important event yesterday
in
Brisbane's sporting landscape, the funeral and reflection service of Darryl Vandeville.
Yeah, look, I didn't make it to the funeral, which I heard was very poignant, as you would expect it was, but I made it to the celebration of just a wonderful rugby league / sporting life. But Darryl Vandeville, we had it at Suncorp yesterday afternoon. A who's who. As we said earlier, you know, Heels, when we acknowledged Darryl's surprise, shock passing, one of those deeply affected would be one of his greatest mates in Alan Langer. And, of course, they had to phone Alf in Los Angeles before the Vegas game. And he was deeply affected by that. I remember we caught up on Cox Plate Day. I remember me crowing last year about the Ladbrokes taking us down for Cox Plate. Of course, Darryl and Alf were regulars on a Cox Plate. We caught up with them afterwards in Melbourne, having had a couple of drinks, and Alf was up to his usual mischief, you know, teasing Darryl and poking him in the ribs and things like that. But he was a wonderful mentor to Alf, and he was a wonderful friend to so many in football. Player, coach, as we said, when he passed, that he was instrumental in Alf going back for that famous 2001 State of Origin match when Bennett, you know, made the inspired call to pluck Alf from English Super League, and he had to go through Darryl first. Darryl and the Warrington, you know, hierarchy had to basically tick off on that.
Yes.
And they did, you know, as we know, the rest has been inscribed in Origin history and folklore. But yeah, Alf was very upset. A lot of our Host Plus coaches and players involved, because he was heavily involved with the Queensland Rugby League for so long, and the board, etc. So yeah, a big representation of the entire cross section of rugby league there to pay tribute to a great man.
Imagine his wife dropping him off for just a normal knee operation. His second one. He's had one of these before, and that's it.
Yeah.
What now? The cause, was it a clot or was it an infection again? I can't remember.
Picked up a clot. Yeah.
Clot.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Very, very sad.
That's why our Medicaids tell us no surgery is easy surgery. You have to be very careful.
Well, we heard yesterday from Corey Parker about Tom Gilbert that there's a clot picked up, and they probably won't operate on the knee now, on the ACL, for three months.
Three extra months.
Yeah, well, and also the other big news last night, obviously the NRL judiciary has spoken, and it's spoken loudly. Spencer Lynch rubbed out for 8 matches, won't return until round 10, so he will miss the Roosters' return clash with the Bronx. That's round 9 at Suncorp on Friday, May 3. I don't know whether that ever came into their thinking. Probably not. Lenny's defence, and it has been all along, was that he didn't realise that the term monkey was racist. He got a text apparently at 6:30 the next morning when he woke up in Vegas from an Aboriginal woman who spoke poignantly of the hurt that that word causes. So he soon learned, you know, what it meant. Apparently, it looks like now it was all sparked by Mam saying to a couple of his Broncos teammates, target him a little bit in attack because he looks like he's slowing down and running out of puff. And Lenu took exception to that, and that's when he's used the term monkey. And that's what's caused all the distress. But everyone has wanted, I think, a line in the sand, and I think that's drawn the line in the sand.
Eight
matches is a strong penalty.
Well, that's how ridiculous the NRL can be. A line in the sand. Mm. They've been educating these players since 1997.
Yep.
And never upholding the standards their education's putting out there.
Yeah.
And the hearing last night wasn't very consistent to me. He was racist. He wasn't racist. It was racist in nature, but he wasn't a racist person. But we're going to give him 8 weeks anyway.
Yeah.
It all went round and round and round, and some things that, you know, a medium category contrary conduct, which is 8 weeks. He was educated, but still caused pain and hurt. So we're going to give him medium contrary conduct, 8 weeks.
Mm. Joe Kelly was the spokesman, the Roosters CEO for the club afterwards, and he reiterated outside the hearing that Spencer is not racist.
Turning to the findings of tonight's hearing, we accept the suspension of 8 weeks. But in relation to the hearing, the club stands behind Spencer and is firmly of the belief he is not racist. And the club remains strong in its position that Spencer did not use the word, the subject of tonight's hearing, in a racially derogatory way.
Mm.
So should it be 8 weeks?
Yeah, I think it's still, whether he knows or not, he should know.
Yeah, but he didn't use it in that. So they proved that.
Yeah, well, they've been through all this education.
Yeah.
And, I think he should know.
And then they tried a precedent where a recipient wasn't offended. By a racial word, and that counted for nothing.
Yeah, well, Joe Kelly answered some questions post as well. I mean, that was obviously from a read statement, but the Roosters CEO did take some questions.
So the judiciary obviously disagrees with what you've said there, Joe, but you're quite strong on that.
Yeah, we are really strong on that. We spent the week with Spencer, and from the word go, he was forthright and honest and put his hand up immediately.
How's Spencer now?
As you would expect, it's a tough one for him, but, you know, he'll work his way through it, and he'll use this time on the sidelines as well to further his education, which will start immediately.
You know, after he heard from the relative of Ezra, and it's interesting to read Steve Renouf in the paper today about how involved the Mam family has been with Deadly Choices. He still took 2 days to apologise.
Yeah.
After he knew how hurtful it was.
Well, they probably went into crisis meetings.
Well, for the first time.
Yeah.
They should have been immediately after Vegas whistle.
Well, Steve Renouf was actually at the Darryl Vandeveld celebration of his life. They'd been to a Deadly Choices function.
Yeah.
This was Steve speaking of the incident.
The good thing is how strong he stood up, and he stood up for his people, and that's amazing. And, you know, I said this about his playing, his game of rugby league, how much he's matured in a short period of time, which he did. We saw his performance in the grand final, but he's done that as a young man, and there's a reason for that, because he grew up in a strong family, and he stands up for what he believes in.
What about the original defence lawyer? Or whatever, calling him Luai.
Mm.
Was it a genuine mistake, do you think? Or was it something he was trying to annoy him with? Like, this is how you get annoyed by words.
I don't know. I would hope that.
And the wrong nation.
Genuine mistake.
Wrong nation and wrong name.
Hopefully it was a genuine mistake.
Well, if it's a genuine mistake, that bloke could never be in that room again.
Mm. Oscar has been on the text line early. Latrell Mitchell only received a 6-week ban for his sickening hit on Joey Manu that left him with a broken cheekbone. Racial abuse is not okay at all, but I think physical violence should always carry a heavier penalty than words of abuse. Yeah, no, not right.
I think that's right.
No, I don't.
Hey, that hit on Joey Manu.
Yeah, he got 6 weeks for it.
Yeah, he should have got 8 at least.
Well, give him longer. But this one of Lenu is well and truly deserving of 8.
Right. Yeah, that's what I think whoever wrote that in
was
saying he should have got more than 6.
Mm.
So I reckon an illegal physical act is as bad as what Spencer Lenu did.
Well, I'll agree to disagree on that.
Yeah.
It's 6:17. Vanessa's here.
Good morning. Well, in breaking news just in the last few minutes, police have actually laid a murder charge over the death of a 21-year-old man at Hope Island on the Gold Coast yesterday. It happened at a shopping centre car park when a man was actually dragged from his car and attacked in daylight. Now, two 23-year-old men were taken into custody yesterday. They were found hiding out nearby. One 23-year-old man from Redbank Plains has been charged this morning, so he will face court today. Investigations continue. Now, on to the lighter stuff. We have to talk about yesterday's Oscars. Oh,
yes.
Now, what a ceremony we saw. Oppenheimer, obviously a very big winner as expected. 7 prizes it took home, including Best Picture and Best Director. Poor Things also did well. It won 4 categories, including Emma Stone winning her 2nd Oscar for Best Actress. You know, Barbie didn't do as well. Just the 1 prize for Billie Eilish's song, What Was I Made For? But there was plenty of fun and games, and of course, all the action from the red carpet.
Mm-hmm.
Now we saw some beautiful, you know, there was really some really elegant pieces. Carey Mulligan in a very like mid-century glamour style piece. Plenty of shimmers and sparkles mm-hmm. around as well. We saw some leather, this green leather dress that was quite amazing with all these ruffles. Ryan Gosling taking things a bit casual with his shirt undone.
Yes.
You know, if you've got the chest
and
for it, why not?
Getting away from Ken real quick, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yeah, no peace.
And Hemsy rocked it. Didn't do a lot of, didn't make yeah. a lot of effort. Just yeah. put the boss on. And
any favourites from you two?
Well, there were a couple of chests, but John Cena went the whole kit and caboodle, didn't he?
Yes.
That was a gutsy costume.
Yeah, that was a little bit full on.
Oh, it was a small piece of paper, wasn't it? It was like a A5 manila folder.
Okay.
What about the sleeping bag of Ariana Grande?
Yes. A big pink
puffy sleeping bag. How comfortable was she going to be?
Yeah.
Nestling in a seat.
Absolutely. I don't know quite how you sit down in a dress like that.
The exaggerator off the shoulder puff. Mm. And the other, apparently they were talking about a lot. They're very uncomfortable shells, corsets that came up over the shoulders, and they had to sit not straight in their seats.
Well,
a lot.
Did you see how a couple of the dresses, they have these sleeves
the
over
hangers.
The shoulders that stick up?
Yeah,
it
must be fiberglass.
Looks like it needs to be taken in a bit, like they're a bit short-waisted, but apparently that's the fashion.
And they're rock hard. They're like shells.
It's strange.
3 to 4 hours sitting down in that.
Yeah.
Well, apparently the dress that Barbie wore had no pink in it at all.
Which one?
No, Margot Robbie's
black,
beautiful black.
The black one.
And they're all saying that was a protest.
Because she's worn pink to every awards ceremony.
She's
and she didn't get nominated for the Oscars.
Fair
so,
they can read anything.
And
they really can.
The monologue, did you see it?
Yeah, bits and pieces.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
It was quite good. And Margot, was talked about in that. They won the genetic lottery.
And
then everyone clapped when they supported the non-nomination of Barbie.
Yeah.
And he said, it was all you who did it.
Yeah.
Well, don't clap, it's your fault.
It was you.
Yeah.
The performance, though, of I'm Just Ken was excellent.
Outstanding.
Yeah, that was
Slash
a real
playing
highlight.
Guitar.
Yes.
Yeah. Very, very good. All right. Well, look, I'm pleased that I haven't been asked for my dress review.
No, you're pretty good. You're in there. Why? What do you think?
Spangles and sparkles and tight things.
And big puffy,
tight things.
Puffy exaggerated sleeves.
Yeah. Things that look very uncomfortable to be sitting there for a 3-hour award show to tell you.
Yeah, there was no cutouts. You know,
only 1 or 2, but they're kind of moving on from the cutouts, aren't they?
Straight across the bust.
Yes.
No sort of sternum showing.
But also the Oscars is a little bit more conservative. They're not quite as outrageous on that red carpet.
How long is a red carpet? You see the drone shot? It goes for a block and a half.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
And Margot then apparently sort of channeled Tay-Tay for the after party.
Yeah.
Oh, she was in a gold dress, wasn't she, for the after
party? Front page of the paper,
Yes, like a leotard kind of bodysuit. Yes.
While you discuss that, we've got to get to a break because
it's
gone to 6:22.
That is, it's Tay-Tay's bodysuit. And she's got a leather shawl over her arms.
Yeah. We'll be back. It's Breakfast with Pat and Heels, and we're powered by Kubota. You can take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. Where the debate continues here in the studio about the 8-game ban. Spencer Lenu last night. Look, he was As you said, he was asked about Adam Goods. He didn't know who Adam Goods was. And I suppose, given our age and experience, we all know who Adam Goods is, and we know that he was called an ape and, you know, the uproar that that caused. But Lenu claims he's never heard of Adam Goods. And I suppose, you know, you're talking about a 23-year-old who, you're right, they don't read a whole heap of newspapers and things like that. It doesn't matter, though. Look, as far as I'm concerned, it's caused... He knows the distress that it's caused Ezra Mam and his family. Mam doesn't, you know, I know he's offered to fly up here and make the apology in person, but Mam doesn't want to know about that right at the moment. So if Spencer, you know, is sitting at home feeling sorry for himself this morning, you know, I think have a good think, mate. You've got 2 months to think about it.
And Roosters should have been dealt with the night of Vegas.
Yeah.
And the word he put in front of Monkey is not good too. It's sort of doubled down on the word. If he sort of said little, little fella.
It's divided our
sort of thinking.
Dimmy's here. If Lenu claims he didn't realise the M word was had racial connotations, he must have been living under a rock for years. No excuse, and his challenge after the game to leave it on the field or sort it out at the hotel later, to me that shows a total lack of understanding. Easy to say, he'll learn from this, but honestly, he should have already known, and that's my point exactly.
How was Mad Monday, Dimmy, the Premier? 5 for 39. Didn't send us through your play cricket login.
Peach has rejoined us as well. The character of Alex Carey on his fine knock and nonchalant display of his dedication towards his team spoke volumes about the man. Exactly right. He didn't care that he was stranded on 98. There was a hell of a lot of other people that did. As for the judicial inquiry into Spencer Lenu, the outcome better send a message and not be wishy-washy wet lettuce display. If they're fair dinkum, they will be heavy on suspension, which they have been. 8 weeks, 8 matches is a long time in context of the season. If they're not, and Spencer gets 4, which he didn't, for me personally, this still, he said, in my opinion, it's a storm in a teacup, which you tend to agree with, Hills.
I agree that he didn't use it in a racial way. Yeah. Like, I agree with the judiciary. But they didn't. He should have known. But, I couldn't quite work out exactly what they were getting at there. It's hotting up, eh? It's hotting up in rugby league. Oh, it's round two coming up, and there's issues left, right, and centre. The Dally M voting and the anonymity of the people who are making the votes is now being ridiculed.
Yeah.
You know, the Hammer polled after an average match for Dolphins, and Adam Reynolds over Joey Manu in Vegas.
Yeah, well, that one I can't understand whatsoever.
Hey, come on, no better. Otherwise, you're going to get known.
Yeah, but we've got to get to Vanessa very quickly. But in the racing front, the racing action continues every day. As Chris Nelson was telling us yesterday, it's a very busy week in the Sunshine State. You can check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing today. And it is actually a big 10 event card at Warwick. So there's a stack of races going around at the moment. But Warwick hosting 10 races starting just before midday and not finishing until 5:30 this afternoon. So there's plenty to keep you occupied. As I said, just go to that racingqueensland.com.au website to check out where Queensland is racing right through the week. We're back, and we're brought to you by Burbank Homes, the builder you can trust. You can bank on Burbank Homes. And Hyundai, the all-new Hyundai Kona N-Line, is out and about right now. 13 13 55 is our Suncorp Home Resilience Open line. Could be worth calling today because we do have another prize for our caller of the day. Have your say on any issue, whether it's NRL, AFL, the cricket yesterday, Carey being stranded on 98 not out after the innings of a lifetime, and you could win a $50 voucher to the Waterloo Bay Hotel. Book your next function at the fabulous Waterloo Bay Hotel. Visit waterloobayhotel.com. .au. Heels, just a quick one here. I just missed getting this in our little racing segment. This is from Daryl, who always does his research. Toowoomba apprentice jockey Alicia Donald rode into racing history on Saturday with a winner at 3 venues. How good's this? So Ipswich, 2 rides, 1 winner. Onto Esk for 2 rides, 1 winner. Then back to Toowoomba for the nighttime meet, 5 rides, 1 winner. She travelled in excess of 230 Ks in total on the day. Then on Sunday, she backed up as a strapper for a Toowoomba runner on the sunny coast and off to Warwick for 2 rides today. The feat was previously attained by senior jockey Brad Stewart back in 2014. So well done, young lady. Hear, hear. Thank you, Darryl from Kingaroy, doing all our work for us and our research for us.
Alicia Donald.
Yeah, so I'm certain you'll be able to read about Alicia on the Racing Queensland website. All right, yeah, love to hear your thoughts today. Plenty to talk about, and obviously the Spencer Lenu headlines are dominating all the news. He's out until round 10, so he will miss, as I said, that return clash. Broncos v Roosters, scheduled for round 9 at Suncorp. That's Friday, May 3. And Lenu's defence, as it has been all the way along, was that he didn't realise the term monkey was racist. The Roosters CEO, Joe Kelly, spoke post the result.
First of all, on behalf of Spencer and the Sydney Roosters, we apologise unreservedly to Ezra and his family for the hurt that has been caused. And we extend this apology to the wider Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island community. Our best wishes are with Ezra, and we know that he has great support around him, including at the Brisbane Broncos. I'd like to acknowledge the way that the Broncos have handled this matter from their perspective and thank their board, Dave, Kevin, their staff and playing group. Secondly, I'd like to reinforce our statement of last Thursday that inclusivity and diversity are key and fundamental values of the Sydney Roosters. And we respect equally all backgrounds and cultures and will not tolerate any form of racism.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's caused a big reaction on our text lines this morning. This is from Matt at Ipswich. Morning, boys. Spencer should have sorted it out after the game and owned up immediately. Yeah, that's a point that I agree with, Matt, that it's taken 4 days. It's like the Roosters have, you know, found out what happened and then tried to get their ducks in a row in a PR exercise, to tell you the truth. He was managed into the position he took, and I have no sympathy for him or his club, not to mention his coach dismissing it like he did. Agreed, which is most unlike Robinson, who's, you know, highly respected, but came out and said, well, because Ezra is adamant, it doesn't mean it happened. Well, hang on a minute, right. It did happen. Most in society know what offends people, and the majority are respectful. Agreed, Matt? Yeah, that's a really, really good text.
So Joe could have added to his speech, several of our staff took our eyes off the ball and should have dealt with it a lot quicker.
Greg's coming through, expecting you two will be doing a piece for Vogue very soon. No sternum show, very tasteful.
Yes.
See, well, that comes from your background in the industry.
Yes.
You're a fashion man.
Well, cleavage, sternum, there were no scallops. Nothing scalloped around the ribs, the rib cage. It was very puffy and comfy looking when you sat down, I reckon. Imagine trying to put a few of those things into one chair.
Exactly right. Look, plenty to talk about this morning. None the least, Alex Carey's wonderful knock. And look, Pat Cummins hit the winning runs, and this is how it happened.
Last ball of the over. Two to win. Sears to Cummins. He goes back and works it through the offside for four. Pat Cummins has won the test for Australia along with Alex Carey. It's been a terrific partnership between the final pair. They get over the line by 3 wickets. Carey, 98 not out, but his finest moment as an Australian cricketer. The match winner on the final day, mostly with Marsh. Then with Cummins, who finishes on 32 not out. Australia have held their nerve again in a close run chase. New Zealand having done so much right to drag themselves back into the contest. Well, their long wait for a victory over Australia will extend yet further.
Well, he's forgotten Adam Collins' second best effort by Carey in his career. Has he forgotten the best they run it?
Let's not bring that up.
Why?
Well, yes.
Unbelievable.
I know. You've.
But how well does Pat Cummins play that shot? Right. How well did he just backed away a little bit? It was a back foot drive, and he played two of them yesterday, and that's the shot he got the winning runs at Edgbaston with, and also he played a non-drive yesterday, that right when we needed it, back past Alex Carey and beat mid on for four. That was fantastic.
I got to say, though, I was like most Aussies who were, you know, fortunate enough to be sitting home and watching it. I thought, well, this is the last ball of the over, Paddy. Just bat it back to the bowler and leave Carey to try and hit a four.
Yeah, well, the one before that worried me. He was trying to slash it away, wasn't he? Mm. I'm thinking, oh, no.
Yes, anyway, it is what it is. And Alex Carey finishes 98 not out. And as we said, it's his most significant innings. And this at a time when he was under pressure. I don't know. I mean, in your mind, was he under pressure? You're the 119 test wicketkeeper amongst the two of us in the studio.
Not as much as Marnus and Steve Smith have been.
Yeah.
But Josh Inglis made 149 and 40-odd not out last week. So he's hovering, and he's already taken the T20 gloves at times and the one-day gloves.
Mm.
So he's coming that way. So Carey certainly stayed on top of that.
I'll tell you
that
what,
stress anyway.
What did anger me, that one cutaway that I saw in the coverage, was Matty Renshaw sitting on the sidelines. I mean, why wasn't he at AB Field playing for Queensland?
Yeah. I guess he might be the concussion substitute.
Yeah. But they've got Nisa over there as well.
Yeah, well, he's not an opening batsman. Nisa, they've sent Scott Boland home because Victoria are a chance of making the finals of the Sheffield Shield. Queensland aren't. So they've kept the Queenslanders over there and stopped them playing an extra game. And Queensland maybe didn't demand that they come back and play this Shield game.
Yeah. Well, as it turned out, if you missed what happened at AB Field yesterday, most of it was rained out. Queensland finished 2 for 14. Lovell and Clayton both out for Ducks. But they have picked this young Callum Vidler, haven't they?
Yes.
This time. He is in the starting 11 for Queensland. And this is the under-19s Australian player, the quick, who has got a big rap on him heels, as far as we know.
Yeah, he lets them go, and he was heavily chased, which is a bit of a conflict of interest. He was playing for the Australian under-19s, and his managers and the coaches were all from different states, and they allowed to get their fingerprints on him. That's one thing in cricket. But the Tasmania's hosting rights in the Sheffield Shield are under threat. They're 3 for 27 this morning, Nathan McSweeney made a great 117 from 271 total for South Australia. Now they've got Tassie 3 for 27. Tassie need to get 0.14 more points, 0.14 of a bonus point, more than WA get against Victoria for them to sort of host, I think. So that's all in the mix in the next 3 days, or maybe even just today. And it's great to see Matthew Wade prioritising the Sheffield Shield final for Tasmania. Never won one for Tasmania, just Victoria, over the IPL pre-season, either the week or two that going over and getting ready, plus the first game for the Gujarat Titans. The final is March 21-25, and 24 is his first game for Gujarat.
Okay, we'll be back very shortly. 13 13 55 is the Suncorp Home Resilience Open Line. You can text us on 0467 736 736. We're back, and we're powered by Kubota. You can take any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors, and their Land Pride attachments. Let's get a Ladbrokes market update now with Tommy Hackett. Chat with industry racing experts in Ladbrokes communities. You can download the app today. Tommy, what was the wash up from the test?
Yeah, a lot of fluctuation in that market yesterday, Paddy. We said yesterday Australia was $3.25 when play commenced. And when Travis Head was dismissed, they got out into the $4.25 range, but then quickly shortened after that. So there was quite a lot number of Australian punters that got involved at that around that $3.25 price. So there was a lot of happy Ladbrokes punters yesterday when Pat Cummings hit the winning runs.
Hey, just get your boys aware that New Zealand don't necessarily try to win. They just like to play well. That's all.
Yes, I did see after unfortunately, we don't pay out on moral victories here, so I know luck for the Kiwis.
Now, what about the Broncos and Rabbits this week? It's a big game, isn't it? Marty Tapau might not play for the Bronx.
Yeah, this is a monster game for both these sides, who were probably both can say they were disappointing in Las Vegas. And you don't want to start your season 0-2. So I think there's already a little bit of pressure on two sides that were expected to be top 8 and top 4 contenders. So it is the Broncos that will start this game as favourites. They're $1.42. Rabbitohs are $2.85. There has been a bit of early money here for the Rabbitohs. One of the biggest bets we've taken on the game is a $5,000 bet on the Rabbitohs at $2.85. So I think it's going to be a really interesting game. And I wouldn't be surprised if Rabbitohs do start shorter at that price of $2.85. I'm not sure there's as much between those two teams as the market suggests.
Now, the other Thursday night match in the AFL, Carlton v Tigers. We know what Carlton did to the Lions the other day, and the Tigers were disappointing on the Gold Coast.
This is the traditional season opener now. We can just call it the round one opener as we get into the round one in the AFL with all the teams that played last week still in action. But it is Carlton. Not very often in this history of this rivalry did Carlton go into this game as favourites, let alone clear favourites. But it's definitely the case on Thursday night. They're $1.35. Richmond are $3.25. And the belief that Carlton showed after bounce back from that poor start against the Lions and still find a way to win was very, very impressive. I think they're in for a big year, and so do the Ludbrokes punters. They've been absolutely truckloaded for this game with Richmond. We can hardly take a bet on the Tigers. Absolute one-way traffic here for Carlton, who have also been popular in premiership betting after their opening round win. So now in AFL premiership betting, we've got three equal premiership favourites. The Brisbane Lions, Collingwood and the Giants are all $6. Then you've got Carlton there at $8. This is a very, very competitive premiership market.
Hey, in the NBL, Melbourne and Illawarra, this final series has just been riveting. They both went into extra time. Winner of this match tonight gets to go straight to the grand final.
Yeah, this is a really, really interesting game. It's been a really interesting season. Melbourne United, they were the clear standouts in the regular season. The minor premiers, they were expected to cruise, really, into the grand final series. But the Hawks have really given them a challenge here. So it'll be a genuine fairy tale story if the Hawks can win this game and move their way into the grand final. But it is Melbourne United that are still dominant favourites here. They're $1.28. Illawarra Hawks are $3.60. So the punt is well and truly with Melbourne United here. But you're getting a line of 7.5 points, but I think it's not a bad bet here with the Hawks. They've been able to keep it very, very close this series. They've found a way to cause Melbourne United some trouble. So I'm hoping that we do see the Cinderella story continue and the Hawks give Melbourne United a genuine scare here.
Hey, Tommy, I just quickly want to get to this. Grant, less than 200 on how to lose your money on the punt. I backed the maid each way in the Adelaide Cup yesterday. The jockey's stirrups broke early in the race. This is Zach Spain. He had to ride it bareback for most of the event. A maid still runs fourth. I see Zach Spain tweeted not long after. He said, I'm jumping into an ice bath now. I'm already starting to get a bit tender.
Yes, it was a remarkable piece of horsemanship from Zach Spain to keep a maid very competitive and a massive run from a maid as well. I think there's almost no doubt if the stirrups don't break there, he would have won that Adelaide Cup fairly comfortably because he is a very good stayer. So, no, it is just another indication of things that can go wrong on the punt. But it was, well played by Zach Spain. But 3,200 metres, it's a long way to be riding like that.
Where does the stirrups break? Where do they when they join the saddle, or are they under the saddle, or join the saddle?
Yeah, normally it's normally the foothold that will snap. A maid had played up before the race and had been vetted and I had dumped Zach Spain. So I'm not sure if something, I'd imagine that something's happened to the equipment there and they hadn't realised. And then when they've started the race proper, the stirrups have gone straight away. Mm. So it wasn't ideal for a maid, but it's still an enormous run. And he's a horse that we could potentially see head to Sydney for the Sydney Cup and Brisbane for the Brisbane Cup. He just loves these 3,200 metre races. He's always very competitive over those staying trips.
All right, Tommy, we've got to go.
Thanks, Tommy.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Quite a few texts about the mate incident yesterday. Murray saying, boys, did you see the jockey lose his irons on a maiden yesterday's Adelaide Cup? Rumour has it an unnamed Aspley punter will be busking outside McDonald's today to recover his outlay. And John saying, just watching, it's Grant from Astley, just watching Zach Spain's replay from yesterday and almost choked, much like an All Black at the World Cup or the Black Caps yesterday. Morning, Cuzzy. Grant from Astley sending us something through then, having a crack at Cuz. We're coming quickly to stump Heels. Now, I didn't mention Heels. We had to get out pretty quickly from Tommy. Don't forget, you can launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Take on the fun and download the Ladbrokes app today. But remember, though, what are you really gambling with? And if you need help there, gamblinghelponline.org.au. But let's get quickly to this.
Stump Heels on SENQ.
Interesting cricket question. Which cricketer holds the record for the most balls faced in a test innings? Very famous cricketer. Which cricketer holds the record for the most balls faced in a test innings? Good question, Jacko.
How many runs did he make? Did he make a lot of runs or not?
Yes, he made a lot of runs in this innings. A lot of runs. in this particular innings. It's very close to the 7 o'clock news with Vanessa. We'll be back to see if Heels is stumped or not right after that.